And we really believe, that's why we're so passionate about discipleship. We really believe this next generation is going to be the catalyst for the third great awakening in our land.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here. And before we get started today, I want to share with you one major thing that has made a difference in my life, and that's working out and nutrition. So besides staying mentally fit, it's important to take care of your body, right? And that means having more energy and more focus throughout the day. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have really long days and I need every advantage that I can get to keep up with my three kids. So my wife, Casey, has created an amazing online program that walks you through step-by-step how to work out and what to eat. The best part about it is she's taken out all the guesswork and what to do and how to do it. She shows you everything. She shoots videos, answers questions, walks you through the whole process. And honestly, the best part about it, besides the last thing that I said, is it's less than $20 a month. I don't know of anywhere you can get such an amazing program for less than $20 a month. So if you will go to our website on areyoureal.org, you'll see a banner on the right side of my beautiful wife. And if you will click on the banner, it'll take you right where you need to go to get started. And the way we've done that is we've created it all through Facebook. So all you have to do is click on there and it will walk you through and put you into a small private Facebook community. And also all the time I get questions about supplements, what to take, how to take them, do they really work? And we've taken care of that also. If you will send me a message through our website or through Facebook on Are You Real, I will gladly send you some samples of my favorite products that I take every day that help me stay focused and full of energy. So again, Facebook me, private message, send me an email. I will send you samples for free to help you get started. Jump on there, click on the link, send me a message, and we just want to get you mentally strong, physically fit, and for you to be the best you can be. Have a blessed day. Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here. I am fired up to introduce today's guest, Christy Austin. Christy, you fired up and ready to roar.
John, I am ready to roar. I have been roaring all morning, and I'm so glad to get to roar with y'all.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So let me introduce Christy Austin is a licensed professional counselor who's passionate about bringing unity to the Church of America. Her unique prophetic gifting and sensitivity to spirit bring healing to many through teaching, prayer, and worship. Christy resides in Aiken, South Carolina with her husband. He's a worship leader and her three sons, all anointed musicians. Christy is passionate about facilitating revival in America by simply unmasking a genuine intimacy in her own love encounter with Christ. She continuously inspires and encourages all around her to do the same. Currently, Christy travels and speaks, leads and launches community prayer groups, and operates as an undercover revivalist at a local psychiatric office. All right, Christy, I gave our listeners just a little bit of a glimpse into your life. We would love to hear more about your career and how that intertwines with your faith.
Awesome, Donald. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I am so excited to share with your listeners today. I am actually a revivalist and co-founder of Enkindle Ministries, which is a ministry passionate about facilitating revival in the Church of America. What's that look like? So many people have a different picture of what revival looks like. And so I just want to share briefly with you what that looks like. About 7 years ago, my brother, who's a full-time evangelist and travels, we were sitting basically at my mom's house this one day. And you got to picture it because it's this cold Michigan winter day, which you have to go to in the winter to really appreciate what that looks like. But we're sitting around the living room. It's 10 degrees outside. And mom has a fire in the fireplace going. And Chad's talking about his dream in ministry. And he looks at me and he says, you know what? I don't want to be a revival ministry who's defined by my name. So he was Chad Seabright.com. And we never wanted it to be about that. We didn't want Chrissy Alton or Chad Seabright. And so he said, let's go together and whoever wants to join us, then let's do this. And so we were sitting around the fire. Of course, it's cold outside, and we're asking the Lord, what do you want to name this ministry? And so as we're sitting at this fire, I say, you want to ignite in the spiritual, basically as this fire is igniting in the physical right now. And so from there, we came up with the name Enkindle Ministries. And that was 7 years ago, of course, and the Lord has shifted our path many, many times. But basically, where he's led us is that we really believe that revival is strategic. You know, I used to think revival is something that just happens. You're sitting in a prayer service and you have an awesome preacher, and then revival breaks out and nobody wants to leave and all these healings occur. But actually, if you study the history of revival, there's very strategic things that have taken place to birth that revival. Every revival in history, not one has ever been birthed apart from prayer. And so one of the foundational pieces of Enkindle Ministry is actually prayer. And we are passionate, and not just passionate, but prayer for us is a non-negotiable, because we recognize, I mean, we all recognize the dark place that our country is, and we also recognize that there is no Savior on Capitol Hill. And so we know that the hope is the city on the hill, which is the church. And so our passion really is to unite the Church of America, bring denominations together. Every denomination carries such valuable strength and such valuable wisdom. And we simply want to unite the church through denominations, through races, join hands. It's true, although so cliche, that we really are stronger together. And so Enkindle has four pillars that we really feel are strategic keys for revival. I already shared the first one, which is prayer. Worship is a non-negotiable. Discipleship and preaching. And so we really are passionate about all four of these things and really believe that these are the four vehicles that are going to get us to revival. Now, I was sitting in about 2011, I was reading through this Billy Graham autobiography, which was totally awesome to read. But as I was reading through this, I said, Lord, tent revivals don't really work anymore. How do you want to bring revival to America in 2011? And back then, I really felt like he said technology. Because our generation, we don't have time to go to conferences and week-long revivals, but we have time to listen to a podcast, which I totally love what you're doing here with these podcasts, John. They're awesome.
Thank you.
We have time to listen to a Monday morning minute that's 60 seconds long. And so we have really hit the avenue of social media, bringing something positive on social media. And it's really been awesome to see. But more than anything, we have spent many, many hours praying as leaders, as ministry, and the Lord has just really taken this somewhere that we love to go, and it's truly been an adventure because it's his ministry, and we're just really the catalyst and the instruments. And I really believe revival is going to come through this next generation. They're the generations of overcomers. They have witnessed much sin. They felt the sting of divorce and suicide and all kinds of things, 9/11. And they're a generation of overcomers. And so we know that revival is going to come through that generation, because everything that we have overcome, we now have authority over. And we really believe, that's why we're so passionate about discipleship, we really believe this next generation is going to be the catalyst for the third great awakening in our land.
That's awesome. So, Chrissy, during this process that you guys are starting Enkindle, you're moving forward, was there like an inspirational scripture or a quote or something that you really felt like the Lord had given you guys that maybe you guys fall back on or is foundational for you?
Absolutely. A couple of things. One, my brother is so good. One of his strengths is that he's just very, very steadfast. And we can all look at a ministry or a business. I mean, as you know, John, when it grows and it starts to receiving. Everyone jumps on board and is shouting and cheering with you. But we all know that there were days and months and years, you know, where you didn't see the success in that. And you're just really tilling the soil and you're to your return. And one of the things that Chad would remind me of all the time is, let's just keep putting quarters in the slot. And he's really comparing that, of course, to a vending machine. That was a beautiful picture for me because we did day after day, week after week, you know, with no return. We kept putting those quarters in, recognizing that we are sowing into something, and it's a biblical concept that we'll reap what we sow. The other major thing for me, there's a quote by Dan Allender, who's a psychologist that I really love, and he says, "You are the only you this world will know, and something about your life is meant to make something about God known in a way that no one else can do." And that's something that over the years I've fallen back on, and I still do actually, because we can all look at different speakers and different authors. For example, I wanted to write a book for years, and I would tell my husband, there's so many books, and it seems like a lot of things that I've gone to write about. The next week, I'll go to the bookstore, and I'll see it. Why do we need another book? My husband would say, well, Christy, you're the only person with your voice, and you might say something in a way that someone receives it where they wouldn't receive it from someone else. And so I really believe that, and I encourage all my clients, is that you are made in the image of God uniquely, like nobody else. And you can relay a concept, you can share a piece of God and demonstrate a piece of his image that nobody else can demonstrate. And so I love that quote, and it's one that I've fallen back on over the years because it's not driven by success, but this is something that I have to do because God created me to be this.
Amen. That's awesome. So I want to jump in real quick. I know we're talking ministry right now, but I'm really interested in the fact that you're a professional counselor and you work at a psychiatric office. How does that carry over in your faith? So obviously you can't just go in there and you're a revivalist at heart. You want to bring healing. That's who you are. It comes out. But at work, for so many of us, you can't just come out and start teaching or preaching religion. And I mean that sense of Jesus. I don't mean religion is... Anyways, what I want to say is, how does that tie over with what you do at work?
Oh, my word. This gets me so excited because I use the word undercover revivalist, because what I would say is that we're all revivalists. We're all revivalists in our job or in our school or at the YMCA when we work out. And so in my office, and it can be challenging at times, but I keep this little book that has Mother Teresa on the front of it, and it says the word love. I keep that on my desk, standing up to remind me to be love to everybody that walks in that door. And there's so many social issues of our day. Most of the people I see are not Christians. I work in a medical community, and it's such a privilege for me. One of the greatest honors is to love people where they're at, because we're known by our love. And I get to sit in the people. I sat with a 24-year-old client the other day and basically begged him not to end his life. And he's never had anybody kept saying, "You're a world changer." And he said, "I've never had anybody tell me that." And I literally, when I see a person, I ask the Lord for keys. And so as they're talking to me, I ask for keys in their life of how I can be love to them. And some of the coolest stories I have, I do see some that I get to share faith with because they share that faith, but that's probably the exception to the rule. And I've had clients who I've seen for months. They don't know who I am. They know nothing about my faith. And all of a sudden they say, "You know what? I decided to start going to church a month ago," and they find the Lord. And I really believe that's the prayer that I've sown into the office, because God's presence is real and it's in that tiny little office. And so they have a love encounter with Christ every time, every person that walks in that door. And so I love to talk about that.
Christy, I want to expand on you. Mention the word keys. When you say keys, explain to our listeners, you said you asked the Lord for keys, which I think is just an amazing thing to do, because I know what you're saying. You're talking about getting insight for people, but what does that look like when you're given that? Because sometimes that's going to freak people out, obviously, that aren't Christian, and you're going to say, well, God told me, or I heard, and they're going to think you need to be sitting there in the psychiatric seat. So what does that look like?
Well, that's possible, John.
Yes, it is possible. We all need that. So what does that look like? What's a key that you're getting? I mean, how are you delivering that? What does that look like to people that aren't believers?
Yeah, well, I simply flip my language, you know. So if I had a Christian client or talking to someone in the church, I might use words like lies from the enemy. And we all would know that those are thoughts screaming in our mind that are lies from the enemy. You're worthless. You don't deserve love. All of these things. And so I just simply flip my language to say these are negative cognitions or irrational core beliefs. But literally, when a client sits in front of me, and I don't know how people do it that don't have the Holy Spirit, but I literally say, okay, there's keys for this person's life that's going to unlock this emotional pain that they're in. Because I hate to see people in emotional pain. I hate to see people suffering. And so I ask the Lord for that. And then I don't use what we would call like churchy language, but what I say to them is I just simply flip the language. And is there someone in your life that you're holding some anger toward that maybe you need to forgive, which I might even wait on the forgiveness word because that freaks everybody out. That seems like such an insurmountable mountain in people's lives. But whatever the key is, so I might see forgiveness, or I might see that there's some kind of secret that they haven't told anybody, or I might see that they're having marital difficulties and they haven't wanted to share that with anyone, or maybe there's a death. And so those are the keys that I ask for, to say, Lord, what's the key that you have for this person to unlock this emotional pain so that they can find freedom and healing and wholeness? Does that make sense?
It does. So do you speak life back into it? So if I come to you and you say, you know, you just, the sense that you're getting from the Holy Spirit is that I have emotional trauma or different things. Are you speaking life into people? Like, is God speaking to you and you're hearing words for people that are just, that are not just encouraging, but changing? I guess you're speaking to the lie that they're believing.
Yes. Like, one of my favorite things, I see a lot of people that are suicidal, and just to be honest, I don't know what other words to use. I hate that. I hate suicide. And I sit with parents. I have a client right now who's 27-year-old, shot himself 2 months ago, and she's a mess. And so I see both sides. I see someone in front of me who wants to kill themselves. I see parents or a brother or sister or even a child whose parent has killed themselves, and I see the pain of that. And so one of the things that I have recognized, you start to really see patterns in people, because see, the enemy, he really isn't all that smart, okay? So he comes after people that are world changers and tries to get them to kill themselves. He always does the opposite. And so what I will see, like in a suicidal client, I'll go, okay, the enemy comes after our strength, not our weakness. And so really, whatever they're struggling with in that moment is actually their strength. And so if they're struggling with discouragement, they're an encourager. If they're struggling with despair, they're created literally to give hope to people. And so in that moment, I'll, like, someone that is suicidal, I'll be like, you're a world changer. You have enormous purpose in your life. Well, how do I know that? Now, I don't say this to everyone. Well, because the enemy's trying to take you out, you know, to get you to kill yourself. And so, yes, I always speak the opposite, always speak life, and really ask for specific words and language that will resonate with that client and with that person. And it's amazing, because oftentimes I'll just hear a song like, do you know this song? And I'll go, oh my word, that's my favorite song, you know? And those are all keys from the Holy Spirit, what I was referring to earlier, that minister or speak to that person's heart.
That's really good. I'm just curious, how did you get into counseling? I mean, is that just something you felt? Was there a moment or something that happened that brought you down that path? But what got you into counseling?
Yeah, I knew my whole life. I don't know how I knew this, but I remember career day. You got to pick career day in, I think, middle school, and you could dress up the career you wanted to be. I knew I wanted to be a child psychologist. And so that's what I dressed up as that day. So, I don't know how I knew. It was just something probably planted inside of me. And I can't say that there was this one defining moment, but I just always knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to help people and specifically help them find emotional healing.
Love that, man. We need so many more people like you. Let's talk about the seven mountains. And I believe you're familiar with those because you guys do those within your prayer group. When it comes to the seven mountains, where do you feel your focus is on a specific mountain, or is it two or three? What do you really feel called to conquer spiritual mountains?
Well, the biggest one I probably feel called to is religion. And I'll tell you why. Whatever is weaved in our story, of course, that's where we're going to feel called. And I grew up going to a very legalistic school. Matter of fact, women could do nothing. They couldn't wear pants, cut the hair, you know, all of these legalistic things that we had booming really in the 80s that drove people away from God. And so I feel so passionate about the religion mountain specifically for that reason, because of course I grew up with all of these rules that made absolutely no sense to me. And I remember even I wanted to understand. I wasn't meaning to be disrespectful, but I would go to an authority figure and be like, well, I don't understand. If this says this in the Bible, what do you mean by this rule? Or why can't we do this or whatever? And they would very quickly shut me down. You know, don't be disrespectful. Don't ask questions. You just do it. And so it really drove me away from the church because I was like, this doesn't make any sense. A bunch of rules. Who wants to live like this? And so I wandered, and I was this broken girl looking for love in all of the wrong places, literally, like the song says, very unbeneficial decisions for my life. And I remember my brother actually invited me to a conference, which I grudgingly went to, and I learned for the first time, probably around the age of 23, that it wasn't about rules, but about a relationship and with Jesus. And that was the very first time I had ever heard that. Grew up in the church. I was there every Sunday and Wednesday, went to this very conservative, legalistic Christian school, and had never heard that before. And so I am so passionate about, I really believe this movement in the 80s, maybe some 70s, some 90s, was very legalistic and drove so many people away because simply misrepresented who God was and who would want to serve a God like that. And so I am so passionate about, you know, bringing to the best of my ability His Spirit in me, you know, being love, being peace in the midst of a storm, being joy, and demonstrating this so that people literally look at my life, look at your life, John, look at Casey's life and say, okay, that's what God looks like. They're demonstrating to me a piece of God. And so I don't mean any disrespect, but I just hate religion.
You and me both, girl. It's funny you say that. I was talking to a listener, this was two episodes ago, or two or three, but guy is Cliff Ravenscraft. It was really sad. The guy is on fire, loves the Lord. He's doing great things, ministers, but he literally said he had not been to an organized church in, I think now it's been 3 or 4 years. And I hear things like that, and it saddens me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hate religion, but I love Jesus, and I love seeing where people are free and accepted and they're able to come in. But I hear things like that because there's so many people that feel the same way you and I do, the gentleman I got to interview, Cliff. And what happens is their giftings sometimes could, I mean, I believe he's without a doubt doing what he's called to do. He's outside the church, but people could still use him, his story with inside the church. And people don't get to hear that because people say, well, I hate Christians or I hate the church or those things. But what happens is really what they hate is the legalistic, the rules, the things. They're man-made and they're not God-made. And people just get so serious about that. So anyways.
Right. And I've often thought, Tom and I debate back and forth on this, but if everyone truly saw the love of God and felt it, and again, were emotionally healed in their mind to a point where they could receive God's love. That's always the big barrier. I'm not sure that anyone would push them away. I don't know, but maybe, I guess, Adam and Eve did on some level, but that is definitely our best chance, love.
Yeah, absolutely. Christy, I want to go down a path with you right now, and I want to dig a little deep for our listeners. What has been, we can go a huge struggle, a great failure. What has been something in your life that has been really challenging? I'd like you to take us down that path and why. And also, what the light looked like at the end of the tunnel once you got through it, what God did through you.
Sure. So many, actually, failures and all kinds of things, but probably the most challenging moment of my life came in 2005. I actually was married at the time with three very small children, 10 months old, 3 years old, and 7 years old. And at that point, my husband of 9 years decided that he was going to walk away from the Lord and therefore walked away from our family. And at the time, I was a stay-at-home mom, and we had just sold our house. And so he left, and when he left, he really left. And so I was there with these three children, and I was like, okay, I'm adopting the Aretha Franklin, listening to the RESPCT and all these things. I'm like, I can do this. Okay. So I go apartment shopping. I'm filling out the application. I'm totally like in this fog. And my husband's left me. I have these three little kids that are looking at me, you know, all these things. And they're emotionally rocked also because their dad's gone. And I'm filling out this application. And the woman says, okay, can you just give me a pay stub? And all of a sudden, I have this light bulb moment. Like, I don't even have a job. Like, I can't get an apartment. I don't even have a job. And so we were literally almost homeless. Our house had sold, so we had to be out within weeks. And I have no job. I have three small children, and we're all just emotionally wrecked. In those moments, there were so many valuable lessons. I had heard one of your other listeners, Matt Deeks, kind of share some of his struggles with divorce, and just even being needing someone to remind you to eat because you're in so much emotional pain. And so we walked through that divorce, which was very quick, and within months, I really thought, we're going to be one of those couples, like, I'm going to pray, and I did do all those things. I prayed, I fasted, and on my living room floor, on my face, and I really thought, we're going to be one of those couples that get back together. We have this awesome testimony, and that didn't happen. And so we were divorced about 4 months after he exited, and the day of our divorce, the day after, my dad, who had been battling cancer, called me and said, Christy, I went to the doctor today. Chris, my dad and I mean, he was my rock, one of my best friends. And he said, there's a block in my stomach. And so they're calling in hospice and there's nothing more that they can do. And I remember that phone call so clearly, thinking, I'm going to lose my two best friends. Okay. My husband, who's now gone, living with another woman, all these things, and my dad, who is a godly man and a saint, and the only father figure at this point that my children have. That moment, I mean, I remember just sitting on my floor of my apartment like, God, what are you doing? Like, I do not understand this. We walked my dad through some of those final days, and of course, watching anyone die of cancer is agonizing. And as he passed on, I remember standing at his funeral, because in those moments, in this tiny two-bedroom apartment with three kids, you know, I felt God's presence like never before, because the scripture says he is close to the brokenhearted and he binds up all their wounds. And his presence was in that tiny two-bedroom apartment in ways that I've never felt, even since those days. He was a husband and now a father to me. And I stood at his funeral, and I actually sang the song by Nicole C. Mullins, I Know My Redeemer Lives. And this was like a Job moment in my life. Would have been tense as Job. No, luckily, I didn't lose any of my kids or anything like that. But this was my Job moment. And at the end of Job, I remember standing at my dad's funeral saying, I'm going to trust God. In those days and in those weeks, it enhanced my spiritual eyes and really dimmed my physical eyes. walking by faith and not by sight. And I remember quoting Job, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. And I was like, I'm going to choose to trust. And as time went by, see, at the end of Job, what most people forget, at the very end of Job, it said, ears had heard of you, now my eyes have seen you. And Job gained one of the most valuable gifts in those days, because he didn't just know of God, he had practical, real encounters with God in ways like never before. And same in my life. It was such a beautiful thing, because I'm telling you, I mean, we depended on him financially. It took me a few months to get a job and get the kids in child care and all of those things, that practical things that you have to go through. And I would go to the mailbox and we'd get a Kroger gift card. And God was amazing. And it's something that I still stand on, because I knew God in those days and felt his presence and felt very tangible realities in my life that I have not felt. And it has been incredibly shaping for me. It's also helped me to love the Judases in my life. And I was sitting with someone the other day, and I said, if you can learn to love the Judases in your life, you can love anybody. That's totally easy.
Yeah, that's great.
So I'm totally grateful for those moments.
You know, I'm listening to your story, and it's gut-wrenching, to be honest, just thinking about your spouse walking out and the things you're going through. But I'm just picturing you right now in your apartment, obviously devastated and broken. And what I'm thinking, just like Job questioned God. And I think for so many people, they need to realize it's okay to question God and say why or what the heck is going on. But what I see is at that moment, you had a choice. And that choice was to either get really bitter and mad and say, God, why are you doing this? Or to say, God, bring me through this and rely on him and go through the process. And the end of that process was like the song or the Psalms you were talking about, is you got to not just see God, but you got to know him through this process because it was intimate.
Absolutely. That's the perfect way to say it.
That's beautiful. So let's go back into... Let's stay on the subject a little bit of your counseling. So where was that moment you started doing that? I guess let's overlap that. So how does your counseling and now ministry go together? What do those two look like? So how do you utilize counseling and ministry, and how do those overlap? And you kind of had this aha moment. Hey, this is what God created me to do. This is how they overlap. Yes, I have a day job. I love ministry. I want to help people. Was there a moment that you kind of saw how those overlapped and you're able to take that other places?
Absolutely. I really started Lowdown Counseling out of a necessity. People have a job. And I went, when I was a single mom in those days, I recognized, you know, I am going to need to support these three children somehow. And so I went back and got my master's in counseling and went to grad school through that, really for the needs of a job and financial provision, of course. But one of the most awesome things is not only have I had the privilege of sitting in a psychiatric office, being love and hope for people, and also the cool thing is I could share so many stories, but so many prodigals have come through my office, and if they have no idea that I'm a Christian, and I'm able to get them back on that path with the Lord, you know, and teach them who God is. But globally, what I would say in the body of Christ is probably about 7 years ago when the Lord called me to his church, what he said, and I totally didn't understand it, but he said, prepare my bride. And I was like, what in the world does that mean? And he just kept saying that, prepare my bride, prepare my bride. And what I've come to realize is the church is emotionally broken for the most part, obviously not everybody. But overall, because of the legalistic movement, because of false religion, because of televangelists who have fallen, all of these things, the church is very broken for many reasons. I mean, we meet staff members, pastors, youth pastors, all kinds of people that have been very hurt and wounded. And so one of my greatest honors is really to be able to take what I do in the counseling room one-on-one with people in therapy and be able to facilitate that on a global level with the church. What does that look like? Well, what that looks like is obviously I hold conferences and teach in different places. But one of the things that we're doing right now is we're creating community prayer groups. We call them in Kindling Prayer. And the idea of this is that all denominations come together in a community and we do worship and we do prayer. And I do a lot of healing through prayer because really the Holy Spirit is the great counselor, the great comforter, and the healer. And so in the moments of prayer, in the moments of teaching, in the moments of worship, he really heals his bride supernaturally of what I would call soul wounds. And so I have seen much healing pour out to the church globally. And it's something that my husband, who's actually a worship pastor, he does the worship and I do the prayer, and we're very passionate about. And so our favorite thing is to hold worship and prayer services and just allow the Holy Spirit to have his day and to heal broken hearts.
Oh, I love that. What you're doing is just so needed in the church. Chrissy, I want to jump into the Let's Get Real round, and I want to talk about your biggest strength and your gift, personally, that you feel like God's given to you. So what do you feel like your biggest strength and gifting is?
Well, I have a couple. That's such a great question. We're always so much better with focusing on our weaknesses, aren't we? I would say encouragement. I love to encourage people, and it just that really just is insert courage into them. And then also, my parents told me, every parent says, which is great advice, you can do anything you put your mind to. And some of that's realistic, some isn't. However, my parents would say, Chrissy, I've never seen someone that puts their mind to doing something and does it. Okay, so I have a lot of resolve and determination. And when I put my mind on a goal, like my husband will be like, oh no, if she decides it in her head, like it's done. He'll be like, no, don't decide that in your head because he knows it's over, like it's happening. And so I would say probably resolve and determination are pretty high up there on the strength when I have a vision of something.
Okay. Within your biggest strength, we can overextend our strength and sometimes it becomes a weakness. What would you say walking in your determination or you say your resolve moving forward, what would you say for you can be a weakness within that?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is letting go. I have a tendency, one, to probably hold on to relationships that can start to be what's called dead weight and other people would walk away from, and I'm very loyal. And so not only in relationships, but also in ideas, you know, at some point, there's certain things that you have to let go and there's certain refiner fire moments where the Lord's bringing things off. And it's very difficult for me to let go of things. It's like, okay, you have to let go. So that's definitely a huge weakness.
So sometimes you just got to cut the anchor and move forward, right?
Yes, I'm learning that.
That was funny. In the beginning of the year, I was just sitting down and praying about some things. And so many times I listen to several different podcasts. And one of the things it said is that you are the average of the five people you hang out with. So that can be things you listen to or people you allow in your life. And I started looking around and I thought, the people that are most influential in my life, do I want to take on any of their tendencies or do I want them, their life to influence mine in any way? And that really had to make me think about, well, it's time to cut, maybe not cut the relationship, but cut the amount of time I'm with these people or different things. Because if I'm going to go to the place where God's called me to be, sometimes I'm going to have to let go of some things of my past or even my present, those anchors, so that way I can sail into the place that God's called me to go.
Yes, that's a great word picture. I love that.
All right, what is the biggest thing that God is stirring inside of Chrissy Austin right now?
Divine strategies, two words. we are all very busy. And about 3 months ago, I was like, okay, Lord, there is so many things and so many good things, awesome things that I could put my time to. And none of us are getting younger, right, Ben?
Yeah.
And so it's like, no, if these are the last days or not, but these are some of my last days. And I want to make the greatest impact on our nation. And Lord, what does that look like? And so what are 3 divine strategies? And so the Lord has really given me those specific strategies in launching these prayer groups nationwide and encouraging leaders, being a leader of leaders, and then continuing with the teaching, worship, and prayer. And so that's been monumental to me. And I've really been encouraging all my leaders, ask the Lord for 3 divine strategies, because we can all get distracted with many good things. And we want His keys to revival in the Church of America and bringing unity.
I love that answer. That is a 3 divine strategies. We better start asking. Chrissy, let's jump into the Kung Fu round and let's talk about sharing the gospel. So not all of us are called to be evangelists or street corner prophets or different things. Some of us are called just to everyday life. Obviously, you get to operate in both of those areas, which is awesome. But what does that look like for you personally when it comes to sharing the gospel with people? What does that look like in your life using your gifts and talents?
Well, honestly, it looks like is I really so desperately want people to know Jesus and feel His Spirit the way I do. And I'm not anyone special. And growing up in religion and all of that, what the Lord has asked me to do is just openly share what He shares with me quite often. Now, there's secret place moments that I don't share, you know, publicly, but big outlet for that is social media and YouTube and doing videos to encourage and that kind of thing. But I really want people to learn to hear His voice and to feel His love and to be able to lock their eyes with His to the storm. And so very practically, I honestly just share those things in real ways. I love to worship on stage with my husband when I get these opportunities because I want everyone to feel the passion of worship that I do. And so really that's what it looks like, is just every day sharing a piece of what He's shared with me.
When I hear you say that, the thing it made me think about is just even our tagline on our show, be real, be authentic, be you. So really you're just allowing who you are every day to come out. I mean, you don't put on a facade going to church or whether you're at work, you're just comfortable with you and you, Christy is Christy everywhere she goes.
Yes, I really strive is a bad word, I know, but I do want that in my life because we've all seen enough fake, we've all seen enough inauthenticity. No one needs to see that anymore. And so I pray the good, the bad, and the ugly, I try to be real.
Like your answer. All right, what is a personal daily habit that contributes to you having a solid walk with Jesus?
Well, really just practicing His presence. That's such an awesome question, you know. I know most people would say reading the Word, and that's important, but for me, it's practicing His presence, and secret place time is non-negotiable, and being a mom and all of the different hats that we wear, we have to be creative with our secret place time, and sometimes that's simply driving to work or the workout in the gym or whatever that looks like. I always make time for secret place time because it is the fuel. And I never want to give in ministry or in counseling out of Christy. I always want it to be His Spirit. And so if I don't personally have that secret place time of practicing His presence, simply talking to Him and listening to His voice, I have nothing to give. And so that is a non-negotiable for me.
All right, I'm going to challenge you a little bit on this one. So you use 2 church words that I use all the time. And there might be listeners that are right now that are saying, I have no freaking idea what you mean by secret place and presence. And you said practicing presence. Give me a layman's term the best you can. What does that look like? You said gym, driving in the car. What does that look like?
Yes, thank you for telling me. I need talent. What I was referring to was the book by a monk, Brother Lawrence. Learn to practice God's presence. What does that look like? Simply talking to God in a conversation like you would if your spouse was standing in the room, and also listening. And so in the book, the whole premise is basically as he would wash dishes as a monk, he would talk to God and God would talk to him. And so for me, it's much the same because I stay pretty busy, you know, honestly. I mean, and most of us do in America in this day. And so it is bringing conversation, listening, and speaking to Jesus everywhere I go. So whether I'm at the gym with my headphones in, or whether I'm driving in the car talking to the Lord and listening, or washing dishes or cooking dinner, all of those types of things. And in those moments is what we call the secret place. And so that's where it's just the secret place that's really refers to time with you and the Lord where nobody else is.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, that's a great answer. That's exactly what I was looking for. I don't want to get into depth right now because for the sake of time, we don't. But I do want to ask you this. Growing up in the church and say, let's even say the last 5-6 years, even from the time that I had the privilege of meeting you and Paul when we lived in the same town, would you say that it is much easier, and I'm saying this on purpose for our listeners, that it is a lot easier for you to hear God than what you think, that we've made it so hard or maybe so complicated, but it's actually a lot easier that you hear God every day and you don't even realize it?
Oh, my word. I'm so glad you brought that up because, yes, that is so true. And all you have to do is listen for the whisper. Now, what I tell my clients is a lot of those pitiful voices or a lot of those screaming voices, that is actually not the voice of the Spirit because they're negative, really. But his voice is the still small voice, and he's so real and tangible. And if you ask him, he's revealed things to me, you know, one through people, but probably through a license plate or a billboard. So if you ask him for that, he is so awesome to give that in tangible ways.
All right. Chrissy, what's a recent book that you would like to share with us that's impacted you lately?
Well, the book that has had significant meaning recently to me is called Prophet Arise by John Eckhart. And I love the book because it's very small and it's simple and it uses a lot of the Bible, which I believe is truth. And so one of the reasons I love it, and I've probably bought 25 copies and given them out, but for people who have an inclination toward the prophetic or believe they are prophets or intercessors, the book is actually really good to be able to bring out that gifting. And I think a lot of times prophets are born with such an ingrained sensitivity that it really serves as a detriment when they don't know how to walk in that anointing. And so this book has been so encouraging to me to help me to know how to walk in that gifting. And even so much of what comes after prophet, rejection, condemnation, loneliness, depression, all of these things. And so I read this book going, okay, not crazy. This is awesome. Or maybe I get so good crazy. I don't know.
That's awesome. And tell us again, what was the name of the book?
Prophet Arise by John Eckhart.
Okay, we'll have that on the show notes. I'll definitely have to check. It's a book that I haven't read yet. So I will definitely have to check that out. Okay, Chrissy, you've had a little time to prepare for this. I would like for our listeners, let's go back to a place where you get to go talk to the younger you. What age are you going to go back to, and what advice are you going to give yourself that's going to propel you further into your future?
Wow, this is an awesome question because I always say, if I had the wisdom, I wish the Lord gave us the wisdom at 20 that we have at 40 or 50, because we all could have changed the world 5 times by now, right?
Oh, yeah.
In my 20s, one of the many things the Lord has taught me is just that not to let my mind go wherever it wants to go and my thoughts go wherever they want to go. Because even in Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. What does that word strong look like? It's literally a binding. It's talking about mental strength. And so we know in order to be launched into our destinies is that it requires the mental capacity, the thought. And so I would have built those mental muscles long ago and not let my thoughts and mind go to wherever it wanted to go, and to really rein in a lot of those thoughts, because once you learn to do that, that's such a key to unlocking destiny.
don't know if I caught that, but what age are you going to go back and tell yourself?
I would go back 20. Of course, you know, I probably could tell myself that before then, but I don't know that I would have comprehended it. So at 20 years old, I would have told myself to rein in those thoughts.
Okay. All right. So right before we jump into parting thoughts, I want to give place for our sponsor real quick.
When your schedule is as busy as mine, seeing a doctor can be very difficult. But what if there was a service that can connect you to a U.S. board-certified physician anytime, anywhere? And what if I told you that it's as close and as easy as your telephone? 24/7 MedPlan is an amazing solution that provides telephone access 24/7 between patients and doctors. With medical costs rising and wait times at ERs and clinics getting longer, 24/7 MedPlan allows doctor consults that are on your schedule. What if it's 11 p.m. Saturday night and your child has a fever? Do you go to the ER, endure a three-hour wait, and hundreds or even thousands of dollars in cost? Instead, you can talk live to a medical doctor right then in the comfort of your home, which may avoid a costly visit to the ER. That's peace of mind. Go to 24/7 MedPlan now and register to save time and money and get peace of mind. No deductibles, no contracts, all pre-existing conditions are covered. Offer just $29.95 per month for your whole family at 24/7 MedPlan. So go now to Are You Real and click on the banner 247medplan.com and get peace of mind now.
Okay, Christy, parting thoughts. Let's jump into that. Absolutely just love your stories and just taking me and our listeners really just even to the place of your apartment and being broken to a place of healing and restoration. I just want to thank you for just being so real and open and honest with all that. What is a piece of parting advice, even as a counselor through things that you've seen, things that you've done, what's a piece of parting advice that you would like to leave with us today?
Well, thank you, John. I totally love what you're doing, and I really appreciate it. And I really think that you actually, through your podcast and through your guest speakers and me getting to be on the other side as a listener, I feel like you're bringing unity. And so thank you for your time and investment there and just the opportunity to get to be a part of it. What I would encourage everyone today is really to keep putting those quarters in the machine. Whatever the dream that has been placed inside of you, the things that maybe you dreamed of as a child or a teenager, and it looks so dark, is really to keep taking one step at a time. And so often, you know, we want to take leaps. We want to be 5 leaps in front of us, but always looks the darkest before the dawn. And so to keep putting those quarters in the machine, knowing that after so long, you are going to get a return and you are going to be released into doing what you've been created to do. And so to keep going, I guess, is what I would say for sure, because we need you. You're the only person in the world. You represent a piece of God that nobody else does.
Oh, I love that answer. One last thing before we go, Christy, how can our listeners find you if they would like to have you in their church or an event or speak or counseling? You've written books. You have numerous things to offer our listeners. Where can we find you? What's the best place?
Yeah, it's enkindleministries.com. It's E-N-K-A-N-D-L-E, ministries.com. I would love for you even to contact us there. And then, of course, social media. We're on YouTube and we're on Facebook and Instagram and all those things. But I would love to link with you on social media and just link arms on the journey.
All right, listeners, Roar Nation, you can find these resources. I will have links on the show note page with Christy's name on it, linking you to Enkindle Ministries. Everything we've talked about today will be on areyoureal.org. So please go to areyoureal.org and check it out. You can also look through the search bar and find Christy as well. Christy, I just want to thank you so much. And as we were talking, there was two words that I want to leave with you today that I believe are for you. That Christy, you're an industry shaker. I don't know what that exactly looks like for you in your life as far as counseling. But also, I just believe, Christy, I just saw imagery of you that everywhere you go, you will leave a footprint where you go in such a divine way. What I saw was like Neil Armstrong on the moon. And when his foot left, we've all had that image, I believe on TV, where he steps and you can see the footprint on the moon. And I guess it's still there to this day. So that's the imagery that I get of you for your ministry and for what you're doing. But you are just going to leave a lasting imprint everywhere that you go.
Wow, John, thank you so much for sharing that. That's very encouraging. And thank you, Lord, for allowing me to get to be part of your plan. So appreciate you, John.
Absolutely. All right. You have a blessed day, Roar listeners. Thank you so much. Please rate and review us. Go into iTunes. Leave us a review. I need you to share our podcast. Get the word out. And if you are interested in being on the show or know somebody who would make a great story, please contact us on the Are You Real page. Have a blessed day, and thank you so much.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.